Bible says in Luke chapter 12 and verse 42, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you that he will make him rule over all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, it did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, what is a warning to us as Christians? That we have an obligation, a duty as stewards of the things that we know and the possessions that we have and the truth that has been shared with us. It's our responsibility to take that and use it wisely because you are coming back. And I pray that when you do, you would find us faithful. So, Lord, as we once again talk about stewardship, enlighten us, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I grew up in the service station business. Many of you know that. As a young person growing up, back in the 70s, I know I'm testing your memory for a lot of you, but back in the 70s, basically, whether you realize it or not, we are very close to a cashless society. Nowadays, there's very little money passed around. It's either on a credit card or different ways of transacting things. If you buy something now out of state, there's wire transfers. Very few checks are written now. But back in my time, it was basically a cash business when you came in and gassed up your car. You paid cash for that. You made change out of the drawer. You gave change back. Nowadays, people don't even know how to make change anymore. You want to count your change when you get it. No offense to them. They're not trying to steal from you. It's just a lost art and things like that. So in that time, there was a lot of cash in the drawer. And a lot of times the drawer would get so full you'd have to empty it out, put it in a separate bag so there'd be room for more cash. And my dad was a successful businessman. There was a lot of traffic that went through. We would handle thousands of dollars a day. At the end of the day, the deal was that we would take the cash and checks out of the drawer. We'd put it in a bank zipper bag. You've all seen those if you're old enough. Maybe those things are old now too. But we'd have a bank zipper bag. We'd take that out as we were closing up. And the deposit would go home to Levant. And we would make up the deposit. And then it would come back in the next day ready to go to the bank. We would take that money out, put it in the zipper bag, unbutton our shirt, slide it into our shirt, button our shirt back up, and my father would look at me and he would say, you guard that with your life. And he wasn't kidding. And we always knew if someone was coming after us, you weren't getting the cash. Someone was going to get bloody, and we would, as ridiculous as this sounds, the way we were raised, we're going down swinging. Nowadays, it always surprised me when you hear about nowadays you go to work for someone and it surprises me. They'll just say, just give them the money, just give them the money. And I'm thinking, really? That's not what we were taught. Telling you all that, this isn't in my notes, but that story was under the cash drawer, the next drawer down was a metal cabinet that you pulled out and there was a loaded 45 model 1911 under that. So we were prepared. That was just how life was back then. I know times are different now, but not a lot different in my house. I'll just let you know that, okay? Now, having said that, the truth that you and I have, my part of that story that I'm sharing with you this morning of guarding it with your life, is that you and I, as Christians, having the truth of the gospel that you and I know, I believe it is our responsibility in the year 2019 to be sharing and guarding the truth that we know and to be sharing it with others, because I'm telling you, right now, truth is becoming a scarce thing. And it's becoming scarce because you and I are not sharing the truth. And when lies are propagated and darkness comes out, and I'm telling you, we are becoming into a very dark time in society today. The things that are being talked about on a regular basis are nothing but bizarre. And it is becoming accepted, and it's becoming accepted because you and I as Christians in the church today are just too careful about what we want to say. We don't want to offend someone. Well, I'm telling you, I am daily being offended by the lies the enemy is being told, is telling us. And we can no longer sit back and just be polite to those. Now I recognize we can't be jerks, but you and I as stewards are stewards of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's not only the redeeming story of telling someone how to get to heaven, which is through the shed blood of Christ, accepting him as my Savior, recognizing that I am a sinner, and there is no chance I can go to heaven without the shed blood of Jesus Christ paying for my sin debt. Having said that, there is also a tremendous amount of moral truth in this book. There's a tremendous amount of telling you how to live in this book and applying it to society. A strange concept about loving your neighbors, treating others the way you want to be treated. All of those things are biblical concepts, and nowadays we're hearing about bullying in school and all the troubles and things going on, and I'll tell you why there's trouble, and I'll take it even further. There's trouble today that America is passing laws that are unconstitutional. And everybody's concerned and say, boy, we're getting away from the Constitution. We got to get back to the Constitution. And I've got news for you. It's not the Constitution we need to get back to. It's God's Word we need to get back to. Because if you go back far enough, the Constitution wasn't just this great document that wise men thought of when they were establishing the United States of America. The Constitution is written on biblical principles. And America's Constitution does not stand as the foundation for our basis of society in the United States of America. America's Constitution sat on the foundation of God's Word. And a few years back, we decided we no longer needed God's Word. We took it out from under the Constitution, threw that aside, and thought we would continue to follow the Constitution. And that was a great error, because we cannot follow the Constitution without God's Word. And I'm telling you, as Americans and as Christians first, our duty as stewards is to be propagators of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth that is in this Word. And I'm sick and tired of listening to talk radio and everybody calling in saying, oh, we got to get back to the Constitution. We got to get back to the Constitution. And you can't get through to those places. I don't know who has time enough to sit on hold all day while they're trying to get on talk radio. But I will tell you this. Somebody needs to call in and say, fool you on the Constitution. Let's get back to God's Word, and the Constitution will take care of itself. So, number one, we are divulgers of the truth. The Bible says, Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. John 17, 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, if God's word is truth, there's some things that are said about God's word. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, 160, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. And 2 Timothy 2, 2 says, and the things that thou hast heard among me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So you and I, it's our job to share the truth, and I've got news for you. If you and I aren't talking about the truth, they're not talking about it at the Walmart. They're not talking about it at the local truck stop. They're not talking about it anywhere. The church is the home of truth. Say that with me. The church is the home of truth. Now, having said the church is the home of truth, I got a newsflash for you. That's not the Cornerstone Baptist Church. You and I are the church. When we leave here, the church goes with us. This will be an empty building. It will be recognized as a church. It has tax-exempt status as a church, but it is just a building, just like the Cross Center, the Bangor Auditorium, or whatever you want to call it, is just a building. But on the other hand, if you and I all showed up at the Cross Center today and held a meeting, that would be a church because we are there. Now, having said that, you've got to understand, when you leave here, you are the church and you are the source of truth. And it's up to you and I to be sharing that truth. Number one, divulge the truth. Not only that, as stewards, we need to develop abilities. Now, I'd like to think that as whatever we picked on the coach this morning, we have another coach here, Aaron Wilcox. I don't know if he's here with us today or not, but there are other coaches in the areas back there. So those guys, I'd like to think that Aaron has improved as a coach over the years. I'd like to think he has honed somewhat of his ability. Todd's probably already perfect anyway, so there's probably no room for improvement on him, but I know there is for Aaron, just throwing that out there, okay? Now, I'd like to think that this is my 25th year as a pastor of this church. I'd like to think I'm a better preacher now than I was in 1994, although that's probably debatable. We hone our skills as we use them. Does that make sense? I'd like to think we get better as we work at it. But I got to tell you something. We need to work at it. We need to be doing it. God's called you. He's given you an ability. I don't know what that ability is. Probably you do. If you don't, you can find it. We find it by trial and error. Now, the problem with us human natures is we don't want to fail. So let's not try. And that's what happens, you know? So what needs to happen is the church is not only a place of truth, but it's also a place for you to hone your abilities. And we want you, this is a very loving place, at least I believe it is, I hope it is, and we want you to be able to hone your skills in service to the Lord while you're here, and there are many opportunities. So as stewards, we want you to be busy. The Lord talks about on his return, will he find faith on the earth? Will people still be practicing this faith? Will we still be doing it? And I got news for you. The Church of Jesus Christ is not stronger in 2019 than it was 100 years ago. Sad to say, there are signs of the foundation crumbling. And that comes down on you and I. In the old days, back in the 80s, we'd all stomp around and preach and say, not on my watch, that's not going to happen. Satan's not getting his way. Well, you know what? On my watch, it is happening. Let's just admit it. You know, it used to be a Sunday night crowd was almost as big as a Sunday morning crowd. That doesn't happen anymore. You say, well, Stan, what's happening? Well, you know, times change, people are busy, all that. We can make all kinds of excuses, but you've got to admit, seems like we were more interested in those things back then than we are now. So, Stan, I don't know if I like the attitude of things that you're saying. I'm just saying it like it is. I'm not going to make excuses. You can blame it on me. You can blame it on the times. You can blame it on whatever. But when you look in the mirror, it's that person in the mirror that you ought to be talking to. Because it's up to you and I, the time and the investment we make in the work of God. And I got good news for you. The more time you put into it, the better you'll get at it, and the more you'll appreciate it. Marriage is a great example. Those guys that think their marriage is fine and it's going to be fine and they concentrate on other things, I got news for you. Your marriage isn't as well as you think it is if you're not spending time working at it. My wife is a full-time job. I have to work at that constantly, you know. That's right. That's good preaching, isn't it, babe? Yes, yes. Work harder, huh? Yes. Now, you know that I'm joking, but I'll tell you what. You and I get good at what we invest in. This worship team going on here, folks, they're getting better. Now, I liked them before. I think they're getting better. That was my kind of music that, you know, and they're learning. So am I. I hope so are you. Be busy serving the Lord. It's not only a place where we divulge truth. It's also a place where we develop abilities. Why do we do that? Well, John 9:4 says, I must work the works of him that sent me while his day. The night cometh when no man can work. In other words, there is a certain amount of time that we have. We always think there's more time than there is. If a young couple wants to get married and they set a date 3 years out, I'll look right at them and say, you're crazy. Get married tomorrow. And they say, what do you mean by that? Oh, come on. And they think I've lost my mind. But I'll tell you what, you don't know how long you have to get to be married. Some of you have celebrated, John and Linda Wilbur just celebrated 50 years. That's tremendous. Not all everybody gets 50 years. My first wife and I, we only got 18. And I'd have gotten, if I'd known that was going to happen, I was married at 21. I got married as soon as I could, but I'd have got married at 15 if I could have. I love it. I love marriage. I love being married to Emily. I highly recommend marriage. Got a new couple in the church that just got married recently. I saw the wife at the door recently, and I says, congratulations, and I said, you're going to love this. It's awesome, and I mean that. Now, it can be horrible, but if you work at it, it's not. It's wonderful. It's God-ordained, but you got to work at it. The more you do, the better you're going to like it, and if you don't, it's going to fall apart. It's that simple. And I got news for you. Your life with the Lord, John 9:4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. You don't have as long to serve the Lord as you think you do. Serve him today. John 17:4. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Now only Jesus could say that. You and I don't know when we're done. But we will be done. We will be through. Obviously, my brother-in-law, Randy, is in bad shape, and I know this tape will go out, but it's the truth. His days of serving the Lord, if he had them, are coming to an end, unless God intervenes. And I don't want to look back and sing the song, wasted years, oh, how foolish, as we wandered in darkness and fear. Look around, God is calling. He's calling you from a life of wasted years. And I'm telling you this morning, if you are not serving the Lord today, you are wasting your time. The only thing that will last is our time spent for Jesus Christ. As stewards, we are the ones that divulge the truth. We also want to be developing our abilities. Number three, the church is also a place to deposit doctrine. What I mean by that is you don't bring doctrine to the church. The church divulges doctrine to you. Hopefully, we preach and teach the Word of God. Every now and then, someone will tell me, they'll come visit our church and say, boy, it's so nice to have a church where they preach out of the Bible and they use the Bible. Now, folks, if they're not talking out of a Bible, wherever it is that you're associated with or whatever, you're wasting your time. I don't have anything to share apart from God's Word. I don't know much. I'm not making that up. I don't know much. The only basis I have to stand before you on Sunday is what I've read in this book and what I can share with you. And the doctrine of the Word of God is what we need to base our lives on. And it's doctrine that keeps you from error. And it's doctrine that gets you to understand that when you're talking to a Mormon, they are wrong and they're going to die and go to hell if they don't get their doctrine correct. And when you're talking to a Jehovah's Witness, they are wrong and they are going to die and go to hell unless they get their doctrine correct, because it is not based on the Bible that you are holding in your lap. And it's very important that we know that. And don't apologize for the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 4. The church is like a bank. We invest in it. We place our trust in it. We put our deposits there. And the church needs to be somewhere where you can go and know that it's a place that is founded properly, that you can trust what is going on there, that you can invest in it with your tithes and offerings, and know that it is handled correctly. That's why we put out a financial statement every year. That's why if you are a member here, you can examine our books. That's why every year they go to a private auditor and they look over how we spend our finances and make sure there's nothing underhanded going on, because it's so important. This place has to be trusted. You have to trust your leadership. You have to trust your pastors. If you don't, then we need to talk about that. And if they can't be trusted, they need to be fired. Me included. It's very important. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4 says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. That's doctrine. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they shall not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And I'm telling you that if you can't find truth in God's Word in the Cornerstone Baptist Church, you should not be attending here, because time is short. We are stewards, and we want to make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to do as effectively as we can be doing it, for as long as we possibly can, because it'll come to an end. Yesterday, I'll close with this. Yesterday we went down to Oakland. They had the State of Maine Strongest Man Championships. And I know you thought I probably competed, and I could have, but I didn't. I was just watching, you know. And those guys, they'd step up to 740 pounds. And they'd pick it up, and they'd try to carry it across the gym floor. And people would just be, come on, you can do this! And I'm thinking, you're crazy! But they were giving it their all. Some of them never got it off the ground. They're all cheering for them. Because they gave it everything they had. Did you hear me? Because they gave it everything they had. And I wonder, this just picking up iron. God gave us forklifts for a reason. You know? This is crazy. But that's what they did. Some of them won. All of them tried. And I couldn't help but think, you know, really, that's what the Christian life is. All of us try. Some people have greater ability than others. But wouldn't it be great? And church is not a spectator sport. And how you serve the Lord, for the most part, is between you and the Lord. If we're doing it so that everybody will cheer for us, we're doing it for the wrong reasons. If you're up here singing in the worship team so that everybody will see how well you can sing, you're doing it for the wrong reason. And if we're only doing it so that everybody says, wow, Stan, that was so impressive, or wow, you really sing, that's not what it's about. But what would be really great is if, whether cheering or not, every one of us, pass or fail, would give it everything we've got. And if we just step up to the cross every day and say, Lord, today I'm giving you everything I've got. Some days you'll fail. Some days you'll get a medal. But I'll tell you what, when we stand before Him, what we want is well done. Well done. The last verse I'll leave you with is a question. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 8, it says, I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. And the last part of the verse says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth? Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, will He find faith on the earth? You and I have been given a treasure of our resources, our abilities, our time, the Word of God. And we have an obligation to use those resources for the honor and glory of God Almighty, for Jesus Christ. And He's coming back. And I thought He'd be back in 1980. I thought He'd be back by the year 2000. Here it is, 2019, and He's still not here. But I'll tell you something, He's coming back. And don't you go off and do whatever you want to do thinking, I guess it won't matter, because it does matter. When He comes back, He's going to be looking to see, will anyone be faithful on the earth? And folks, by the grace of God, I can't control what you do. But at 271 Griffin Road, there's four people that live there, Stan and Emily, Katie and Cody. And like Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. And I hope you will too. Heavenly Father, we're stewards. There's a lot more I could have said, but the weather is bad. Folks need to get home while the traveling conditions are what they are. But we're in Your house today, and this is the Cornerstone Baptist Church. And I can't emphasize enough the importance of living a life that pleases You, to stepping up and giving it our best. And Lord, this morning it starts out by saying, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. Folks need to trust You, put You in the driver's seat, in control. And then, Lord, You didn't just save us so we'd get to go to heaven. You saved us to forgive our sins, and while we're here, to serve You. We've been talking about stewardship. And it's all about who we are, our time, our talents, our treasure. It's about tithing. It's about giving. It's about loving. It's about everything that we are, all that I am, all that I am, all that I hope to be. We owe it all to you. And I pray that we would be willing to use it for you. Lord, for that person that has been slacking off and fooling around and just playing the game and showing up on Sunday and looking spiritual, you're looking for more than that. For that person that has backed away and used to be so busy and now they've gotten other things going. For that person that used to come on a Sunday night or used to come to Sunday school, but they've slacked off. God, I pray that you just say it's not time to quit. It's always too soon to quit. And help us to say, Lord, I know that I've got other things going on in my life, but you're the priority. So at our invitation this morning, make us what you want us to be. Help us to be obedient to you, because in the bottom line, it's all about obedience. It's all about being faithful. Bless the invitation, please, in Jesus' name.